Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this Sunday morning, Lord, and as always, we're here to worship you. Father, we love to worship you, and we're just so glad that we can do it right here, out in the open, under the sunshine, beautiful morning. Lord, we also know that you're here with us. You say we're two or more gathered in your name, you will be in their midst. There's a whole bunch more than two, and we know you're here with us, Father. Lord God, as I get ready to read from your word, I just ask that you would minister through me to everyone here. To anyone that doesn't know you, Lord, let them get an understanding of what you're about. And the ones that already know you, just let them get a better understanding of what you're about. So we just thank you now, Lord, and just touch each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning is Father's Day, and I think a whole bunch of us here are fathers, and a whole bunch of us here are kids from fathers. And you know, dads have a role. God gave dads a role in life as to what dads are supposed to do. You know, dads take care of you. You know, dads take care of the household a lot of time. You know, usually they earn a lot of the money. Moms have to also in this day and age. But, you know, it used to be it was mainly dads that earned the income. And moms took care of the home. Dads are the protector of the family. They're supposed to watch over the family and all that to make sure that nothing happens to the family. That's a role that God gave them. And I'm sure that every now and again you'll see a dad that doesn't do that. But for the most part, that's what they do. And that's great. But what I want to get to today is God gave us roles in the church also. There's different roles that we were given. And first I want to say, you know, what is the church? A lot of people look at a church and they just think that's a big building that you go to on Sunday. And it's not. This right here is a church. The believers in Jesus, I mean believers, all of us in the faith make up the church. We don't have to be in a building to do that. The building, it's a good name for the building where people meet to call it a church. But the actual church is all of us believers. And we don't all have to be in the same place. So how do we know what our role in the church is? Well, God equips every one of us to have a role in the body. And the Bible calls it the body of Christ, that we're the body of Christ. And what is our role in that? And there's a reason the Bible uses body as a term. Because just like your body, you know, you got arms, legs, hands, fingers. You got eyes, ears. Every part in our body has a specific purpose. You know, there's some parts of our body that don't seem to be as cool as the other parts. But even those have a place and are needed. And without them, we couldn't get by. Well, the same way, God gave each one of us a role in the church. And I want to read this morning out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to just look at how God equips some of us. Now, in Corinthians, it talks about gifts that God gave us. And those gifts are what I would call equipment that God gave us as to how to function in the body of Christ. And a couple, three of them might be a little controversial, but for the most part, they're very logical gifts that God gave us. So I'm just going to read it. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And the first thing I want to point out there is that it says each one of us has some kind of gift that we can use. And the other thing I want to point out, it ain't for us. It ain't for me. Whatever gift I have is not just for me. It's for the common good. It's for all of you. It's for all of you here and for anybody that listened to. That's what it's for. Then I want to go on. Let's kind of see what kind of gifts God gave us. It says, to one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Okay, why, you know, what would that be? Well, to simplify it, you know, it'd be insight into a certain situation on how to deal with it. You know, somebody might come to you and say, you know, hey, man, I'm struggling in this area. I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I've prayed, and man, God just doesn't seem to be answering me right now. What do you think? And at that point, God may give you the answer as to what that person needs to hear. That's really cool when that happens. I've had it happen to me. Then another one. Let's go on down. It says, to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, which that would basically be a revelation about a situation or a person. And this sounds, you know, like, wow, man, I'm not spiritual enough for any of this. You know, that's how a lot of us look at this stuff. But the Bible says that we have, you know, some of us have those gifts, and you may have a gift of some kind, and you may not have another gift. But let's just read on. I just want to read a few examples. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, why would we need the gift of faith? I mean, we believe Jesus is alive. We believe he died for us. We believe in God. I mean, we believe all that. So why would we need a gift of faith? Well, it's real simple. You get wore down. I mean, your job wears you down. The kids wear you down. And for the kids, mom and dad might wear you down. I mean, we all get wore down, and we start kind of drifting away from God a little bit. And sometimes our faith gets weak. Or you feel, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go do this, and we're supposed to go do that. And then we don't think we hear God telling us what we're supposed to do. And so our faith starts getting weak. And when you talk to other believers, there always seems to be that one person that no matter what, they just, well, just, you know, this is what I think God's doing. And I mean, they're just so strong in their faith. And I think that's why God has those people. They help pick us up. They give us a positive attitude. You know, negativity creates negativity. And positiveness creates positiveness. I think I just made that word up. I'm not sure it's a real word. But, I mean, if you hang around positive people, you're going to be positive. Well, if you hang around people that are real strong in believing, well, you're more likely they're going to rub off on you, and you're going to do the same thing. So that's a really good gift. Let's read, see if there's any other ones that are pretty decent. You know, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. You know, you might have a person go to the hospital, pray for somebody, and doctor says, hey, that person's never going to recover from this sickness. But somebody prays for them and they get well. Now, it's nothing that person did, but God chose to use their prayer to heal that person. That's cool stuff when that happens. And I'm sure, especially around motocross, I'm sure you've seen people, I mean, that aren't supposed to recover from this and that, and then all of a sudden they do anyway. And it may have been your prayer that did that. You don't know that. You know, to another, miraculous powers. You know, miraculous powers, that's a real easy one for me to explain. I mean, you've heard it. Like, a kid gets run over and the car's parked on top of him. And for some reason, mom all of a sudden has the strength to lift that car off a kid. You've heard stories like that, and you're like, yeah, I don't know if I can believe all that or not. Well, I do. I believe that. I actually take that literal. So let's go on and see what other ones we have here. We got gifts of prophecy, which is God's told you something that you're supposed to tell somebody else that could happen, which we got to be really, really careful with that. There's a whole bunch of people, especially on television and stuff, that say they're prophets, and that ain't what this is saying. This is saying that some people may be able to foresee, you know, God tells them something, and it's a prophecy, but if it doesn't come true, obviously the person didn't know what they were talking about. So we got to be real careful, because some of this can get people in trouble. But we just go on. There's several others, and I don't want to just sit here and read them all off. But at this point, you're probably going, well, this all sounds way above my head anyway. You know, I don't fit into any of those categories. So let me just read a couple more verses here. And it may be a lot. You may go, oh, okay, maybe I do fit in there. Okay, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. In other words, they're all the work of the Holy Spirit. It ain't nothing we're doing. It's all from God. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. So in other words, you might have a gift today. You might not have it tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit might give it to him and then take it and give it to you. I mean, it's something that doesn't happen every day, so you don't have to sit there and go, well, I am this and I'm that, and you can't get a big head over it. I think that's the whole point, that we don't get all blown up thinking we're something special, because we're not. God's the one that's special, and his gifts is what help us. So let's go on and see what else it says. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And I kind of jumped ahead earlier. I already talked about that, how all the pieces fit together. You know, it says, but in fact, God has arranged parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And like I said, I already talked about it, how all these pieces fit together, you know. The big toe has a function. Even your butt has a function. I mean, it really does. Sound terrible, but that was bad. Bad boy. I got to turn around. But just trying to explain that some things aren't as cool as others. You know, so, but let's see what else it says. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Every one of you is part of the body. And every one of you is here. And God gave a gift to each person, and that gift is not for you yourself, it's for the common good, like you said, to build other people up. That's what it's for. And then to top it off at the end of the chapter, and I condensed this chapter way down because this could be like a 10-hour sermon if you really got into it. But I condensed it down and I skipped a few verses, but at the very end it says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, why would God say that we should desire those gifts? Well, we should desire them because we can help others. That's the whole point. It's not to make us look cool. It's to help other people. It's to help that person that's struggling in their faith. And it's to help the person that don't know what to do with their finances or their, you know, whatever it might be. But then I want to read on there in Romans 12:6. It lists a whole bunch of gifts. If you're going, you know, well, you know, I don't know that. I prayed and none of this just seems to fit for me. I'm just not that kind of a person. But check out these other gifts that the Bible talks about. It says, if it is serving, let him serve. Oh, wait a minute, that's a gift? Yeah, some people have the gift to serve. Just, you know, the guy at the church that's the greeter when you come in. God gave him that job. He says, hey, you're going to be the one that says hello to all the new people that come in. Which is kind of an important job, because if the guy at the door's got this nasty old look on his face, you really don't want to go in there. Well, sure, I belong here. Especially, I remember, you know, back when we had all the biker stuff going on, you know, you go to a church and people kind of used to frown on you a little bit when you first walked in. But if you got a guy standing there who's all happy, smiling, that makes you want to go there. So some people have a gift to serve. Some people have the gift to teach. It says, if it is teaching, let them teach. That's pretty self-explanatory. I think all that says is not everybody's called out to be a preacher. We're all called out to do something, but not all of us are called to preach. But if we are, that's what we ought to be doing. Look, there's another real basic one. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. Just encourage people. You go on, if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Some people, they just, you know, don't care how much money is in the bank because they just give it all away. That's really cool if you can do that. I mean, there's a lot of hurting people. We go on, if it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There's a whole bunch of things that we can do to contribute to the body of Christ. And by us doing that, it's going to make the body a whole bunch better. I know sometimes that might be a little hard, especially when you run into some of the holier-than-thou kind of people. I mean, we know all, you know, there's a lot of them out there that we got to watch. But they're still in their heart. Their heart's right. It's just, they just kind of messed up in the head a little bit. But if we're nice to them, yeah. Hey, they believe in Jesus. It's just some of their views are a little different than us. That's why it's so awesome. You hear people talking about, you know, well, I don't know why there have to be so many different denominations. There ought to be just one church. Well, we don't all fit in the same place. That's just like, ain't everybody here riding motocross. There's just a few of us love to do that. And then some people like NASCAR. Well, it's both racing, and both is fun. Well, same thing with following Jesus. The songs that I played earlier, a lot of people would think for a church, that's totally wrong to play that kind of music. Well, that's okay for them to believe that. They can believe that, and there's nothing wrong with it. But it's okay for me to believe that I can play it, as long as my spirit doesn't tell me that it's wrong. So, if we use our gifts and build each other up, we'll all be better people for it. And what's going to happen is we're going to get stronger, we're going to get bolder, and all of a sudden, you might find yourself building up people that don't know Jesus yet. You know, you're going to start talking to them, and all of a sudden, those people that don't know Jesus, heck, we may even get them to come follow Jesus. All of a sudden, the family's getting bigger, and then they're going to get into that same role. They're going to help build us up. It's just like a snowball effect, you might say. So you're like, well, what's the point of this whole message? I mean, I talked about a whole bunch of stuff this morning. Well, first thing you want to take away from here, and I talk about it pretty regularly, we need each other. We can't do this alone. Because like when we get down and out, like we said, we need somebody to lift us up. All these other reasons I talked about earlier. Second point I want you to take home, God gave us resources. We can call them gifts, but let's just call them resources. They're resources. That's more modern way of saying it, probably. Well, those resources, we put them to good use, and they're going to build people up. Another point, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, and I fall into that category really big. I always have a real hard time letting people know when I'm in trouble or when I need help. You know, it's that manly pride thing or whatever you want to call it. But if you let other people know that you have a problem, then they can do all those things that we talked about earlier. And then they can build you up and make you strong. That's the whole thing. But if we hide away behind closed doors and don't tell anybody anything's going on, I mean, they can't read your mind. Now, yeah, there's, you know, like I said earlier, there's the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. You know, God may miraculously let them know there's something wrong, but that's not always the norm. Sometimes it just happens the regular old-fashioned way. You know, hey, I got a problem. Can you help me? And that's where our pride has to get out of the way. But the one big thing, and with this I want to start wrapping up, but I think we're running a little long this morning. But with this, I want to start wrapping up. Before any of this can really apply to you, and for you to get the true, real benefit of all this, what we just talked about this morning, you got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't have that, all the rest of it doesn't really do any good. If you don't have God as your Father, I mean, I have a son. I take care of him. Somebody else's son comes to me, I'm still going to help him, and that's what God does. But I'm not going to help him in the same way that I would my own son. And it's the same thing with God. If you're not his child, you're limiting him to what he's going to do. So if you don't know Jesus, you got to realize it's real basic. Jesus came to this earth to pay for the things we do wrong. We don't have to use fancy words or nothing. He came to this world to pay for what we do wrong. Nobody here was good enough to pay the price for the things that we do wrong, which that's sin. So he came to this earth. He allowed himself to be crucified on a cross. that paid for it by the shedding of his blood, you might say, and that sounds pretty strong, but that's what it is. He allowed himself to be killed to pay for everything we do. But the great part is, because at that point, if it would have ended there, we could all go home right now. Because, so what? I mean, that's what he did. But 3 days later, he rose. That's the punchline. He rose 3 days later, and now he's in heaven for it, making a place for us, the Bible says. And that's what you need first before you can really cash in on some of the things that we talked about, before you can be a child of God. So, before I get ready to close, I just want to tell you, you know, if you feel a tug on your heart this morning, that might be God saying, hey, it's your time. And if it's your time to do that, don't pass it by, because we don't know how many days we have. And those of you that know me have heard me say it a few times before, I'm sure, that big truck theory. I'd hate to see you step in front of one. It sounds like I'm scaring people, maybe. But it's a scary deal. I don't know if we'll ride motocross in heaven or not. Probably not. But it sounds cool to think that we will, you know. I know I won't fall off as much as I do here. I'll be riding like Jimmy Albertson, you know. Be pretty cool. But, see, now I got myself totally confused. Got myself lost. Well, anyway, the whole point is, we need Jesus. That's what we need. And with that, I'd like to close. Our God and Father, we thank you so much that you don't want to just save us. You also want to give us resources to help us with everyday life, to make this life on earth here better. I mean, there's so many struggles and so many battles that we fight. Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and it's all about, we're fighting spirits, Lord, and we need your help for that. Well, we thank you so much that you gave us these gifts to help us in that, that we can build each other up, strengthen each other. Thank you. And for the person that may be here that doesn't know Jesus, Lord, I just ask that you would touch their heart. Let them have the courage to say yes to Jesus, because that is a big, bold step. But their life will not be the same. They just need to follow through with it. As we talked yesterday, it's got to be 100%. You can't just say it. You got to actually do it. Thank you, Jesus. As we get ready to go race, I ask for protection on everyone here. Lord, let us have a fun day in racing. As always, let all the glory go to you and not to ourselves. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, keep the injuries down at a minimum. Actually, let's not have any injuries at all, Lord. Let's just, you know, a few bruises maybe. Father, we just ask for your protection. In Jesus' name, amen.